Blog Talk Radio.
The Healing Circle is a panel composed of spiritual teacher Kat Edwards and myself, David Clark, a former social worker. We come together every week for topical discussions in which we share our experience, strength, and hope about everyday life. From depression to connection, we cover all the issues you feel and see as you walk life's sacred journey. Listeners are encouraged to call in and contribute to the show because we all have hard-earned wisdom we need to share. Join us every week at the same day and time, and for today's show, we're going to be talking about trusting your spiritual path and spiritual experiences. So please feel free to participate or just listen. And I'm gratified that we have two callers. We have Bryn from New York City, and we have Marianne, who's soon to be in Western New York. So welcome to both of you. Your microphones are muted at present, but since neither of you have been on the show before, maybe Bryn has, the way we work it is Kat Edwards, who's my co-host, and I will talk about the topic for a while, and then we bring you on one at a time to see if you would like to share. And I know both of you have rich spiritual lives, and I trust you'll have something you'd like to say, but if not, that's okay too. So let me welcome my co-host, Kat Edwards. Kat, how are you today?
I'm fantastic. Thank you, David, and thanks to everyone who's called in and everyone who's listening. Thanks for tuning in.
Right, right. And for those who listen to the podcast or for those present, would you please describe how our Facebook page works?
Yes. So we have a Facebook page which is called The Healing Circle with David Clark and Kat Edwards. We'd love it if you could jump on there, click like, comment on the show. You'll see our show is advertised there under the static post. Make sure you put your comments there. That's where we're going to read them out on the air. And if you have any topics that you'd like us to talk about, send us a message and we'll get them out there on the show as well.
Absolutely. We love to get
topics.
What's that?
I said, sorry, they're within reason. Sorry, I'm not going to study.
Oh, come on.
The study of the rocks on the moon or something. But.
Oh, let's let it up. You know, I know all about yeah. rocks on the moon. When I've been manic, I've been there, and I've brought home some rocks. So there.
beautiful.
Well, yes, we love to get topics, especially from listeners, because we want to talk about what appeals to you, what you'd like to hear about. We can crank out topics ad infinitum, but they may not always resonate with you. So please do suggest topics if you have them. And I'm so gratified that we have some listeners today. And for those of you listening on the podcast, consider calling in at 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, U.S. time. And in Australia, I believe it's 6 a.m. Is that correct on Tuesday?
Yes, it is. Bright and early, having breakfast.
I finally got it right. All right.
I've been up since 5.
Oh, goody, goody, goody. I've been up quite early the last 2 days, but you beat me today. So there. David. At any rate, I'll tell you where these topics came from. I came up with them, and I did that as a result of something that someone had said to me, and I did it as the theme for Friday night show, which I do at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And I had Ann, who is a walk into Jesse Ann Nichols, George's life. Very interesting story there, but I'm not going to go into it now. At any rate, she talked about trusting the spiritual path, and it was a very interesting show. You can catch that on the podcast if you go to blogtalkradio.com/author David Clark, spelled with an E, you can check out that podcast. It was a good one. She's a phenomenal guest, always spot on and full of wisdom. So much for that. Kat, do you want to talk about spiritual experience or trusting your spiritual path to start the show off?
Well, I think that, we're talking about a topic that is unique to every single person on the planet.
Right.
Your own spiritual path, it's a unique unfoldment for you. It's not a one-size-fits-all, and it doesn't come with a book and a bunch of rituals like a religion does. It's not anything to do with religion. It's to do with your unique soul and how you are unfolding as that flower. So you can't box it. Let's just be clear about that, because there's a lot of talk about it out there. But your path is your way, and it should be respected, and it should be honored, because you're on this sacred journey called life, and your path, your spiritual path, is basically that life path. The fact that in that life path you will be working, maybe procreating, maybe not, interacting with others, doing things, doesn't mean it's not a spiritual path, because spiritual is part of the aspect of being. So having said that, when you really engage in your spirituality, you're engaging in connection, in deep connection with the universe, with the environment, with yourself, with all that surrounds you. You stop seeing yourself as separate, and you start seeing yourself as part of something. You start to see yourself as part of an ecosystem, within an ecosystem, within an ecosystem, within an ecosystem. And you start to see that it's not just all physical, that there is a mental, there is emotional, and therefore an overarching spiritual aspect to all of it. When you're talking spirituality, you're talking movement of consciousness. You're talking energy on the highest plane. You're talking different levels of consciousness through evolution. So, for example, the consciousness of a gnat is pretty limited compared to the consciousness of a bear. And yet, the consciousness of a bear is pretty high, but it's still not as high as the consciousness of a 15-year-old child. So, human child. So consciousness grows and grows and grows as you evolve through the bodies as well. So spirituality is linked to physicality, because spirituality cannot have a full experience without having a physical body. So when you're going on your spiritual path, you're learning multiple lessons. You're learning lessons from the lower self, and the lower self is connected to the physical body. It's connected to survival. It's connected to being able to function on a lower plane level, and not lower as lesser, by the way. Lower as in a denser vibration. And then as you no longer need the lessons of the ego, and you could look at the lessons of the ego as the seven deadly sins, except I don't believe in the word sin, and they can be deadly, but everything in moderation.
I agree. So
even murder, like if you have a little moth that's flailing around and is dying and you put it out of its misery, yes, you've killed something, but it was a merciful thing you did. So everything within reason, and you're learning about the growth of your lower self by going through these lessons, and you will be pulled back into them time and time again, no matter how evolved you are. But as you are going on the spiritual path, meaning you're seeking the lessons of your higher self, your soul, as you are going through that path, you begin to recognize that you no longer desire. And so it's not desire as in, you know, it's a bad thing to desire, go start whipping yourself, you're a bad person. That's not what I mean. Desire is something that you, the heart wants, or the gut mind wants, so the gut flora. And it creates a craving or a desire within the body or within the heart, and or sometimes even within the mind. That being the case, as you move through the spiritual path, desires begin to fall away, and you don't even mean it. But you don't mean it to get to the next level of consciousness. You just grow into it. You didn't mean to grow from 100 centimeters to 150 centimeters. You just did it. It was a happening. You didn't mean to grow out of being a baby and into a child. It's not something you can force. It's something you evolve into. So your spiritual path is incredibly unique to you, just as your body is unique to you. And it flows as you flow, as you learn those lessons. So the key to succeeding at growth through the spiritual path is enlightenment. And that is not some big unobtainable thing. I'd like to pair enlightenment back to what it truly means, which is learning lessons and understanding stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So enlightenment, everybody gets it all the time, right? You got into grade one, and at the end of grade one, you were enlightened by the education you received in grade one. And as you went through the years of schooling, you were further and further and further enlightened. So enlightenment just means that you've opened your mind and you've learned something new. So as you grow spiritually, you become enlightened and self-mastered, because you've learned the lessons of the ego, of the lower self, and you've begun to learn the lessons of the higher self, and so you become more and more and more wise. And because you're wise, you're enlightened. That's all that is. And you begin to vibrate at a higher and higher level because you're more and more and more peaceful inside. So you don't have so much emotional baggage. How's that? Does that make sense?
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. It gives me a lot of little threads to weave. Yes, I agree totally with everything you said. And I liked the fact that you started off talking about how each of our spiritual paths is unique, as are our spiritual experiences and our spirituality. Now, I grew up in a Christian tradition. I still attend a Christian church. However, that's just a piece of my belief system and my spirituality. For instance, I had a spiritual experience when I was 25 where I went out of my body after a profound physical experience that almost involved my death and crashing into another car and killing them. I went out of my body, and I never believed in anything other than a traditional heaven. I never believed in hell, but I believed that we had one life and that we would go to heaven afterwards, that we may need to do some repairing, if you will, about some transgressions that we've perpetrated in this life. But the remarkable thing is that when I came out of this out-of-body experience where I was in communion with some power greater than myself, I suddenly believed in reincarnation. Now, where that came from, I'm not sure, but it was like 1 minute I believed in it, an hour later I mean, one minute I did not believe in it, an hour later I did. And it makes sense to me. But that's just one of several profound spiritual experiences I've had. The spiritual path I'm on is mine. I relate to others. I've learned from others. And that has enhanced my own growth, spiritual growth, and the path that I'm traveling on. My spiritual path has meandered quite a bit. And a lot of times I've been consumed by the physical body without regard to spirituality or the spiritual body. And I believe we're all heart, mind, body, and soul. And that when one of those pieces is out of alignment, it throws the whole thing off. To me, spirituality the spiritual piece of myself is the most important piece. That's not to say the other pieces aren't as important either, but that's where I need to start if I'm going to be on a level playing field, if you will. And we just have another caller that tuned in. Thank you very much. And I have a phone call coming in. And let me just accept this for a minute. It happens to be a frequent caller on our show. Diana, I'm doing a radio show right now. Would you like to join us? You can use the call-in number, which is 646-727-3116. And we would love to hear your input. We're talking about trusting your spiritual path and spiritual experience. So please call in. Okay. That's interesting. That's somebody that I have not had on my show in a year or two, and for some reason I got a call from her. Now that's a spiritual experience. And I've lost the thread. Let's go to the phone lines and see what some of the other callers have to say. And I'm going to go first to Bryn, then to Marianne, and then to the third caller who I haven't identified yet. And please don't feel intimidated, area code 530. You're welcome to just listen if you want, but if you'd like to talk about your spiritual path and spiritual experiences, we'd love to hear from you. Bryn, you're live. What would you like to say?
Oh, hey, David. How are you?
Good.
Hi, Kat. I'm in New York City, so you can hear the sirens in the back.
Oh, yeah.
So pardon that a minute. But I love what Kat had to say, and you, David, what had to say about, you know, the spirit path, about, you know, recognizing the lower part, lower body is just as valuable as the higher part, because it's like, you know, in order to, like, reach that spiritual state, you have to recognize all the different areas of you, you know, the light and the dark. It's that ancient Chinese symbol, the yin and the yang. And, you know, there's a little of the yin and the yang and the yang and the yin, and one cannot be without the other without having to be integrated, you know, in order to be integrated. So I feel, you know, in terms of desire too, I've had states where, I think I told you, David, a couple times, where I'd be walking down the street or I'd be on a bus, and all of a sudden a big energy would come into me, and I would start feeling big all around, but very aware, but also desireless, because it was just joy that I felt. I felt this incredible joy and not really wanting anything, because everything was there in front of me. Even the most mundane things looked joyful to me, and it's usually the things I see every day, but all of a sudden I get these elevations, I guess, these elevations of spirit that would swoop down to me, and I would also feel my physical body getting bigger. My skull would be getting bigger, my body frame. And I would see things with fascination, but without desire, with just plain joy and really not yearning for anything because everything was in front of me that I needed because it was so joyful, so what else would I need? And so I've had these passages happen to me throughout my life a lot of times, and you know, I think I also remember mentioning it, it's like nothing I can control. They just happen by the cycle of spirit. And my theory is about it that I was thinking it happens because it's a reminder of what true life is about, that life is really about joy and love of everything, even the most seemingly mundane things you might be looking at. They have a fascination about them. There's something about them because everything is movement, you know, and nothing is, if you go down to the microscopic level, everything is moving. The atoms are moving at different speeds. So I feel, you know, I just feel that in trusting my spiritual path, I guess maybe it's a way of my spirit reminding me I'm on the right track and to enjoy the experience. And then those experiences then will just fade out after a few minutes. Like it might be with me for 15 minutes and I feel this bigness, this joy of things. And I believe that, you know, trusting the spiritual path has been a big lesson for me because I've been a person who sometimes gets stuck in their mind a lot, you know, and I think being able to use my intuitive abilities as I have been being able to put them more in the foreground, you know, in this past year, has helped me get in touch and trust spirit more and to trust my hunches and to trust what spirit has to say about a certain situation, whether it's for a person or something for me, whether if it's the right food to eat or am I going in the right direction. So, you know, that's something that is a big thing for me, I feel. So, you know, I've had several experiences. I last time I talked with you, David, I shared one. There's another unusual one that I had. It was a dream state, but I don't think it was a dream. It was very unusual, and it might have had something with an alien encounter in a spiritual way, I feel. But I was in this hallway, and there was this dark figure at the end of the hallway, and it had a rifle, and it tried to shoot me, and it couldn't hurt me, and I put my hand out, and I stopped it from shooting at me, and then all of a sudden, I was on a table somewhere, and I was lying down as I was lying down in bed, in my bed, but it was on some kind of table, and there was these two beings on my right side, and there was one like around the thigh level on my right side and one next to my head. And the one next to my head was doing something with an instrument on my right eye. And he was like looking for something. And then the being said, "Oh, I found it. I found it. I got it. I got it." He was talking to the other being. And while this was going on, I couldn't move. But I was not, I didn't feel threatened. I curious. I didn't know what was going on, but I wasn't scared. I felt that these were good spiritual beings wherever, whoever they were, and they either extracted something from me or something, because I remember him saying, "Oh, I found it. I got it." And he took it out of my on the right corner of my right eye, and to this day I don't know what that means, but that was an interesting experience, and I felt pretty good after that. When I woke up, I felt just fascinated by it. So I don't know much what else to say about that, but it was an interesting experience for sure. Yeah. So, I'm not quite sure what else to tell you, but I had another experience another spiritual experience where when I was living up in Massachusetts, I lived on this beautiful tree-lined street up in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and it was on a Sunday, and I decided to walk down the street of Orchard Street to the end. It was a nice Sunday, and started walking. Near when I got to the end, this door opened on one of the houses on my right side, and this big Rottweiler dog came bounding out, charging towards me. And the owner behind the dog said to me, "Watch out!" And to me, and I said, "Oh, that, I thought, oh, that's reassuring." And then, normally, I would do the stupid thing and run away. But what happened was, I felt this energy come down from the sky. This big shield come down from the sky, and it encased me, and it was like everything was in slow motion. I walked in slow motion. I was very relaxed, which would not be the case for me in that situation, and I felt in some kind of shielded environment. I looked at the dog. It was charging at me, and all of a sudden, it looked like it hit something, some visible thing, and it swooped back, and it did like a double take, say, like, you know, like, whoa, what was that, you know? And I just walked on that walk as if nothing wrong, you know, and I felt this energy had come down from the sky and protected me, and I think it was definitely a spiritual experience of protection, because probably that force knew something was going to happen. And it totally shielded me at that moment. That totally, like, wow, what happened there, you know?
Right.
Because I acted very different than I would have. I would have just either froze stiff or ran, which would be the wrong thing because, you know, the thrill of the chase and everything and prey and predator kind of thing. So anyway, those are some of my experiences. But I love listening to what Kat had to say. It was very deep, and I'd love to hear it again. I to get more out of it, because I was able to comprehend some of it, and some of it I couldn't. And yours, David, was wonderful. I loved your death experience, where you thought about reincarnation as a reality. You know, so anyway, that's all I have to say right now.
Well, thank
moment.
You for contributing, Bren. I really appreciate your input, and your experiences were fascinating. I just wanted to say briefly that I've had a lot of spiritual experiences in my life, and they've come when I've been in a heightened place of consciousness.
Right.
And I think that synchrony in my life has been a big theme during those time periods where all I had to do was think of somebody and the phone would ring 10 seconds later and it would be
there. Right, right.
And, you know, I think I shared on another show some of the other things, like walking out into the rain and there being a shaft of sunlight on me, you know, rain falling on me, you know. You know, I have a whole score of things I could share, but I want to open up the discussion to other people. And the only other comment I wanted to make, Kat, with regards to enlightenment, was that I think that, you know, we learn each step of the way. We have a choice each step of the way. And to me, enlightenment comes in bits and pieces, and sometimes it's very profound. And I will have epiphanies one after another. And I might not remember them, but it's like I'm lifted into another realm. And I just love it when that happens.
Yeah.
So, Bren, let me move on to Marianne and then to our mystery caller, if you will. And Deanna, if you're listening, thank you very much. She is a frequent caller from my past. I haven't heard from her in a couple of years, and for whatever reason she called in today, not even knowing that I had a radio show, she contacted me. And she's at the acupuncturist, but she said that she would listen. So hello, Deanna, if you're listening. And Bren, thank you again. And by the way, Bren is also a spiritual psychic, and he has appeared on my show for the first time a few weeks ago. and he will be appearing again on September 25th. That's the Friday night show, Different Strokes for Different Folks, and that's at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. So let's move on to Mary Ann, and thank you again, Bryn.
You're welcome. Yeah, thank you, Kat and David. Yeah.
Sure, sure. Okay. I'm coming to you, Mary Ann. Give me a minute. There you are.
Hi,
Mary Ann. Hi, thank
How
you
are
for
you?
Tuning in today. I know you're busy.
Oh,
I'm
you're
fine.
Welcome.
How are you?
Nice to hear your voice. I'm good.
You too.
You know, I just feel that my life has always been on a spiritual path from the time I was a little girl. I mean, I did attend Christian school. I went to Catholic schools. But it wasn't even about that. It was about my connection to my higher power, who I choose to call God. And I believe he's always been there for me, and particularly in some of the darkest times in my life. Growing up in an alcoholic house that was pretty violent, the child within me was very scared. But God has always been my source to go to when I'm feeling scared in times of, you know, just fear. And I've had panic attacks before, but I find when I pray and I turn it over to God and ask him for help, a few minutes later I'm out of the panic and I'm feeling calm. And even yesterday I was driving a long ways to Rochester to visit my daughter from Syracuse. Well, I'm moving there soon, and to me it's a long ways. It's an hour and a half drive on the thruway, and the thruway is never fun, but I was having a panic attack, and I prayed, and it was gone within a few minutes. And I always believed in my spiritual path. I always believed in God, and he's always been there for me. And even what's happened to me in the last year, where my decision was to move, and, you know, at first I questioned it, but as I pursued it more, it seemed like everything seemed to fall in place and things worked out. And it's been over a period of 9 months that I started this process, and everything has fallen into place, even when I wasn't thinking I was going to get another job. But I was contacted by somebody because I had a resume out, and this has worked out really well too. So, and it's been what my goals were, what I needed in my life, and I was contacted by a recruiter, you know, and that I've had 3 interviews, and it looks like the job is going to happen, and I'm waiting for the offer. So, and I haven't moved yet, but I know it's going to be soon. So I'm just in awe, I think, of my higher power and how he's taken care of me. And I don't know, I think about death every once in a while, and I think about it because I'm wondering, if there is reincarnation, what really happens to our spirits, you know, when we die? And my belief is there's heaven, but sometimes I wonder if God does recycle spirits, you know? I don't really know, but I really do believe in my spiritual connection. And when I went through my divorce, that was a traumatic one. And I just wanted to give up living then, but as time has gone on and I've seen how my higher power took care of me, and he did it in a very good way. It's never been anything that hurt me. It's always been a gentle experience for me. And my higher power has always been gentle with me, only because I think because I was so injured as a child. So it was such a traumatic childhood growing up. And I really needed a father. And so I really believe that my higher power is a father to me, and he's a very good father to me. So I guess that's all I got to share. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Marianne. Is Trish around, or is she willing to share, or is she busy?
She says that today. We've been actually out in the
sun. That's okay. Tell her we miss her input. We always appreciate it.
Oh, I definitely will.
All right. And, Marianne, I'm going to be calling you Wednesday to make a date, okay?
All right. Thank you, David.
All right. Thank you for calling me, honey. I appreciate it. Okay.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye. I mean, I'll stay on. Go ahead.
Okay, great. Great. Okay. If there's time and we, if the topic morphs a little bit and we have time, we'll come back to you. If not, Godspeed and all is well. All right. I'm moving on to area code 530 to see if they want to share. And what is your first name, please?
I'm Sherry. I was listening.
Hi, Sherry. Did you want to share, or did you just want to listen?
I'm going to listen today. It's all, I'm in the same boat, learning to trust. So,
yeah.
Very timely topic.
All right. Well, we'll try to focus a little bit more on that piece for you. How does that sound?
Amazing. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. Okay, Kat, learning to trust. Shall we talk a little bit about that?
I'm learning to trust my heater at the moment. It's decided to pack it in, and I'm cold.
Oh, well, I would like to learn to trust my air conditioner, but it's not in the window. I'm melting, you know, like the Wicked Witch of the West. I'm a puddle on the floor.
Well, it's cold here. I'm a cook, and I want my heater. Oh,
Kat's in Australia, for people that don't know. She's in the land down under, and she's in winter while we're in summer here. Boy, are we ever. So, all kidding aside, is there something you'd like to say to Sherry?
Oh, we're talking about trust. There was a couple of things there with people talking that were interesting, but we finished off with talking about trust. And you know, that's a thing that you've got to do. The personality is a little bit afraid all the time, and that's because of instincts. You know, we're animals on this planet too, and there's predators, and predators are other animals and other people. I think I'm going to sneeze, so I apologize if I do. And the thing is, when you get a direction from your higher self or from your guides, it can be quite loud, or it can be directive language that you can hear, or it's some sort of feeling or knowing that's very strong. And you follow it and things turn out right. But when you don't follow it because you don't trust, then you have things a little bit harder for you. And that's usually when you go, oh, I should have listened. And I'm sure we've all had that experience where, I knew I should have done that, but I didn't. So little exercises in trust are good. For example, I used to, when I was learning to trust, I used to say, get in the car and say, right, well, I've got three directions to get to my destination. I'm going to trust in my higher self and my guides that I will be given the right direction. It will be the direction that does not have many blocks. It's got the least amount of traffic, the most amount of green lights, and I will get there before my scheduled time. And I do that, and I'd follow, and usually it would turn out right. When it didn't turn out right was when I second-guessed it. So I found it happens time and time again. And so if you've got the time to spare, that's a really good exercise. Another one is trusting getting a car park, like in a big shopping center car park, getting a spot. Just these are benign exercises which really, really work and can help you to build trust. Another one is trusting yourself to feel the life force in something. So, for example, when you're going shopping for food and you're at the green grocery area where the fruit and veg are, you can visually see how much life force is in a piece of fruit or a vegetable. but to trust your hand to feel it and to know which one is the right one for you to consume or for your family to consume. So you're building trust in that way as well. You're allowing yourself to, your body to tell you what is right for you, because that's so important as well. You know, it's not just all the higher self. The body's own intelligence is really important. Now, I had a, I know it's really silly, but I had an eyelash that was bothering me, and I pulled my eyelid back to find it, and I was going to try and comb it back into the other part of the eye, and I suddenly got a jerking motion that came across my hand, and I plucked that thing out, and I was not conscious, at all. It was my body didn't want the eyelash in there anymore, and it was just a very unconscious pluck, because I consciously wanted to try and comb it back. So the body has its own intelligence, and you need to trust that as well. So trust can be, you know, threefold: the body, the mind, and in the spirit. And doing little trust exercises is the way to go. Also, with learning to trust your own judgment is also very good, because that's going to get you far, especially when you have to deal with people. It's going to get you far. Because everybody's running an agenda. Some agendas are benign and some are malignant. So you want to be making sure that you're aligning with the ones that fit with you and are not going to disrupt your path. And the thing with having that spiritual path is that nobody said it's the straight and narrow path and meant it as you literally follow this rocky, straight, narrow path. It's straight and narrow in that it's aligned and it flows the way water or electricity will flow. It will flow the easiest way. And when it comes to the rapids, it will push over and around. It will not let those obstacles stop it. It will build and build and build and build and build pressure, and then it will burst the dam. So, and it will find the weakness. It will find the weakness to burst the dam. It'll be one little tiny thing. So your spiritual path will always come through. I've found things like when I've pretty much always followed my spiritual path, and like many other people, there have been times when I've felt shut down and I haven't realized that I was still on my spiritual path, because I was so engrossed with the life lessons that I had to experience at the time. But I remember a time in my life when my two eldest sons were very young, and the key people in my life around that time were liars. And there had been some deep and profound lies that had been told to me that had altered my life path. And I knew that I was being lied to, but I could not prove it. And so I said to myself, the light will always penetrate through the dark, just as the stars penetrate through the darkness of the space. The light will always penetrate through the dark, so the truth shall be revealed. And that is exactly what happened. Within a year, all truths have been revealed. And so I learned to trust it, because I declared it to be so. So I learned to trust it. And time and time and time again, if I thought I was being lied to, I've stepped back and said, rightio, let's see, three times the charm. You've proved to me three ways that this is a lie, and I will know it's true, that is a lie. And that has happened to me time and time again. So that comes to trust. Also on the spiritual path, I've noticed that people who are deliberate disruptors to people who are truly on the spiritual path tend to have almost instant karma. So you want to be careful, because if somebody is consistently on their spiritual path, walking that path, they build up an unconscious vibration of high truth around them. And that can be quite an electrical wall around them. And when you come along and you have a malignant mindset, or you are false and you try and affect somebody, whether you realize they're walking that path or not, you can bounce off as if you've been electrocuted. You can bounce off, and I've seen people have their hips broken through accidents because they claim to be spiritual and they claim to be walking the spiritual path, but they were not, and they were negatively affecting people who were, and the next thing, something big happened. So because it's a momentum that the spiritual path creates, when that person is on that path and things are aligning, they must continue to align because the momentum has built, and it builds in such a way that anything that is trying to stop the path can actually end up falling away, and that can be quite a nasty little fall. So we have to remember that there's protection. It's hard when we're told, oh, you've got to love everyone and everything. That, I feel, is needs a little bit of understanding there, because when you're on the spiritual path, it's not that you can love everyone and everything in a lower self way. You know, you're not going around going, I love you all. You can't do that because some people are not really worthy of your heart. Your heart is an incredible gift. It's a gift. And some people are not worthy of the gift. So what are they worthy of? They're worthy of lessons and of growing. And so you respect them as a being, but you don't necessarily respect that or give them your heart. So your heart is for you. What you love is the basic good. So the basic good all around you and on them and in them, but maybe they have not got the lessons of the heart that they should have had yet, and they're still bogged down in the lessons of the ego. So, you know, they're there to have a parental kind of love, and that comes from the greater society. And that is a chastisement and a punishment and a forcing of growth in a hard love way. Because you've got to be cruel to be kind sometimes.
Yeah.
Anyway, I know I'm raving on.
No. You're fine. No. I'm absolutely entranced. I'm just looking at the clock. Was there a final thought you had to share? Or was that it?
Yeah. I just say stay authentic to who you are. If you're truly interested in being a spiritual person, and don't buy into all the hype. Find your own way. Think for yourself.
Perfect. Perfect. And I liked what you said about building, because I think that people need to build trust through experience. And if somebody is not worthy of your trust, and you exercise discernment, you will know, and you can turn from that person. Likewise, if somebody is worthy, then you know this might be a gem that you'd want to include in your life. I want to take advantage. We have one more caller, and we're not going to have time to talk to you, other than that I would request each of the callers to think of a topic that they'd like to have discussed on a future show, and I'm going to come to you one by one. If you'd be so kind to offer a topic, I'm just going to talk briefly to encourage you to contemplate a topic that you'd like to have discussed. And if you can't think of one, that's okay now. You can always go to our Facebook page, and it is The Healing Circle with David Clark and Kat Edwards. Clark is spelled with an E on the end, and we just lost two callers. Okay, apparently they're shy, and that's okay. But we did have a fourth caller call on Kat, and she listened for about 10 minutes, or he. So that's great. I trust that Bren and Marianne have got topics up the wazoo. So let me come to each of them and see if they have a topic or two they'd like to propose. And then, Kat, it's your turn for meditation, correct?
Yes, I believe so.
Oh, you sound really thrilled.
I am.
Do you want me to do it today?
No, I'm good. I shall do the meditation.
All right. Bren, do you have any topics you'd like us to talk about? Yeah.
At the moment, I'm trying to think of something.
First thing that comes to your head.
Let's see. Oh, here we go. The spirituality of animals, of animal kingdom. Yeah.
Oh, that's a great one. We have had a topic connected to animals, but that's great. I love the way you framed
that. Yeah, that's what comes to my mind. Yeah.
And you have my email address, so if any other topics come, please let me know. Let me go to Mary Ann. Thank you, Bren. Appreciate it. Okay.
Well, I was just interested in what Kat had to say about trusting someone and having them break your heart, and they end up going through turmoil because of that, because they haven't learned life's lessons. And it reminded me of my divorce, because that was so traumatic for me, because it was a lot of lying for a lot of years, and I trusted this man deeply, and in the end, he basically abandoned me to support drugs, alcohol, and addiction for his son, and I didn't want to do it. I wanted to show tough love to him. So for me, forgiveness has always been a topic that I'm interested in, only because I've had a lot of forgiving to do. You know,
okay,
so
that's
I thought that would be good.
Yeah, that's a great topic. I mean, the Christian tradition talks about love and forgiveness, and perhaps we could do both of those, or do you want to focus on forgiveness?
Well, I think love ties in with forgiveness, doesn't it?
Yes,
I mean,
it does. Yes, yes.
If you love somebody deeply, your heart gets broken worse, I think. So the deeper the hurt, the longer the forgiveness, I believe. So whatever you think is wise, so yeah.
Well, I think you're very wise, and we'll stick with forgiveness, and I'm sure love will come up. So why don't we do that next week? Would you be able to tune in next week, Marianne?
Next week is Tuesday, as long as I'm not going through moving. I don't even know when I'm moving, David.
It's Monday, honey. It's Monday.
It's Monday.
Monday, yeah.
See what I mean?
All right.
I don't know what day it is even.
Well, that's understandable. Moving is a disconcerting, discombobulating experience. So
we'll do
forgiveness next week. And
okay.
We'll do your topic the following week, Bren. I don't have your mic live. But let me turn it over to Kat for meditation, because
we
just kept stopping.
Well, Dave. Sorry.
Yep.
Trish had a topic. I don't know if you have time for that.
Yes.
Trish wants to tell you a topic. Here, Trish.
Hi, David and Kat.
Hi.
I was thinking about acceptance of all parts of yourself, even your shadow and the parts that you don't like.
Ah, I like that. All parts of self, light and dark. How's that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We've got some good topics, eh, Kat?
Yep, they're fabulous.
Okay, Kat, I'm gonna turn it over to you for meditation. If you can try to be mindful of the time, that would be appreciated. So, with that said,
okay.
I'll remain silent.
Okay, so let's get comfortable, have a little wriggle, and get comfortable in your chair. And just close your eyes. And breathe deeply into your chair and into your seat. Just feel the weight of gravity pulling down your feet, pulling down your knees and your thighs and your butt. And gravity is pulling on you in a gentle, kind and supportive way. And you're held. It feels good. And then bring your mind into your tummy. And there in your tummy, you can find that part of you that sometimes feels afraid. And I'd like you to just put your hand on your tummy and rub your tummy in a clockwise manner and soothe yourself and say, I am safe. I am safe. I am safe. I am safe. And just hold your hand on your tummy in a really kind and loving way. That little part of you, that child in you, nurture it. I am safe. And bring your mind up into your heart. And focus on that part of you that feels delight. And you can imagine an animal, a plant, a person, something or someone that makes you feel delighted. And say to yourself, I am happy. I am happy. I am happy. And then bring your mind up into your head, into your brain. And just rub your temple and say to yourself, my thoughts are organized. My thoughts are organized. My thoughts are organized. I am safe. I am happy. My thoughts are organized. And then feel the sense of alignment. Feel and see how your tummy and your heart and your brain align. I am safe. I am happy. My thoughts are organized. And begin to trust in that. In that feeling of safety, in that feeling of happiness, in that feeling of having an organized mind. This is the alignment. If you keep in this alignment, it will be much easier to hear your higher mind. It will be much easier to recognize when your lower mind is speaking. It will be much easier to know when it is important to hear what your lower mind is saying or when it is important to tell your lower mind that you are safe and not to fear. It will be easier for you to feel when you are happy, when you have delight, or when you have repulsion, and you will understand why. And it will be easier for you to trust and know in your remembering in your knowledge and in how to enact that and to know possible consequences. Now bring your mind back into your heart. And you can imagine in your heart, my alarm went off. You can imagine in your heart is a little pod, and in that pod is a driver's seat, like a spaceship driver's seat. Get in the pod. Get in the driver's seat. There's all the dashboard glitter, and start to drive your life through your heart. Your heart is now the driver of your life. Your mind gives you the navigation, and your tummy tells you when things are safe or not safe. Now you're in alignment. Now you can walk your spiritual path with ease and grace. And when you're ready, open your eyes.
Thank you, Kat. I love your meditation.
Thank you.
Yes. Well, thank you for another brilliant show, and thanks to all the callers. Please join us next week at 4 p.m. Eastern U.S. time, 6 a.m. Tuesday morning at Brisbane, Australia time. And for now, and next week we're going to be talking about Marianne's topic of forgiveness. So for those of you listening on the podcast, we'd welcome you to call in and contribute to the show if you care to. And with that said, brilliant show. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Have a great day or a great evening.
Good night, Kat. Good morning.
Goodbye.
Okay.